Good morning. As you can tell from our website, we've been going through a series the last several sessions on God's abundance. And the focus is on the, well, I don't know if we'll hit all of them, but at least some of the many, many ways that God has great abundance for us. The obvious ways are financial, but there are so many other ways that he just has lots and lots of abundance for us. What we'll talk about today is we have the abundant opportunity to call on him at any time. Some people think they can only call on God when they're hanging by their fingernails off the end of a cliff, or when they're on their last nickel and about to starve to death, or, you know, they're being attacked by Vulcans, for you Star Trek fans. But, of course, none of that is true. We can and should call on the name of the Lord at all times. He wants us to. Think of a young child, a very young child, who really can't do anything without his mother or some other nice person taking care of him. That's the way we are. We're God's kids. He didn't, you know, call us titans or anything. We're his kids. We need God's help. We need God's support. We need his direction in all that we do. And he will always be there for us. So it's appropriate that we call on the name of the Lord at all times. So let's get started. And there are a couple other words that are very similar in the context. Crying unto the Lord, seeking the Lord. We'll see a few of those pop up here. But we're going to focus on calling on the Lord. Let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 12. I mean, you can call me anytime, and I'll be glad to chat with you and give you a little encouragement and quote a verse of scripture to you and pray with you. But I'm not as good at answering prayer as God is. So I'd recommend you call on the Lord all the time and call on somebody like me occasionally when you need it. But calling on the Lord is the number one thing to do. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, and Samuel said unto all Israel, and this is after, you know, after Israel has determined to have a king, and God says, okay, if they really want a king, give them Saul as king, but warn them that this is a silly idea. So they did get Saul as king. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, in verse 1, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened, I have listened unto your voice, and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I, Samuel, am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught or anything of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand ye still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Now look at this, verse 10. They cried, or called unto the Lord, and said, we've sinned, because we've forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hands of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt safe. So they called or cried on the name of the Lord, and they dwelt safely. And that's good to remember, because they had gone really a long way away from God, and when they came back to God and cried unto him or called for help, God listened. So never be thinking or be worried about how flaky you may have gotten. All that really matters is that you come back to the Lord and call on him, because he'll be there to take care of you in every way. They cried or called unto the Lord and dwelt safely. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock. And this was David, because you may remember Saul, when God raised up David, Saul got very jealous and paranoid and kept trying to kill David, but God kept delivering him. So here in verse 1 again of 2 Samuel 22, And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Now look upon it, this verse 4, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. It's interesting, I will call on the Lord. Now, we're used to, of course, we have telephones, but these days we probably spend more time texting and going on websites than using the phone, but we still have phones. We can call on people. I had a problem. I was driving along today, this week, and the check engine light came on, so I called the shop where I'd taken it in last week and said, Hey, what's the big deal? He said, Don't worry, it's under warranty. So I'll go on in and see. But I called on somebody who knew more about check engine lights than me. And he'll look at it with his machine and do something. So I called on that guy. Well, we have people we call on for all kinds of things. People we call on for help with this or information from that, or because we want to buy one of those. And sometimes they can help you. Often they can't. Sometimes they do really good work. Sometimes they don't. But we can call on something much greater. We can call on the Lord. And the Lord is, from our point of view, infinite in what he can do for us. He can do so far beyond what we can possibly ask or think. And that's why it says here in verse 4, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So, by doing that, shall I be saved from mine enemies. So just keep that in mind. You're going to have some challenges this week. You're going to go through some things that aren't going quite your way, that you don't quite enjoy, can't quite figure out what to do. Well, call on the Lord. He'll find a way to deliver you. He'll send somebody to help you. He'll show you what to do. He'll open a door. He'll do something to protect you, to direct your paths, to supply your needs. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Isn't that great? Psalm 17. So great we can call on the Lord. Psalm 17. In verse 6. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Look at that. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. That's why I called upon. You all probably have places where you've tried to call, and either the phone's out of service, or the company's out of business, or you get put on hold forever, and you get tired of waiting. But then there are other people you call, and they actually pick up the phone, and they provide the help you need. And that's why you keep calling those numbers, because they work. That's what it says here. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. That's why I call upon you. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against thee. You're going to have people rising up against you in various ways, but God will save you with his right hand when we just put our trust in him. He'll show his marvelous loving kindness. That's why we simply have to call upon him. We have to say, Lord, I'm in a pinch here. I need some help. And the Lord will be there to help you. I'll look at Psalm 63. Here it talks about seeking the Lord, very much like calling on the Lord or crying unto the Lord. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. First thing in the morning. Wow, maybe even before coffee. I'm not sure it's that early, but before he gets wrapped up in all the other things during the day, he will call upon the Lord. Isn't that great? Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Isn't that something? He would seek the Lord early, and then when he was going to bed, he would look back and think about all the great stuff God had done for him. It reminds me of that verse that says it's a good thing to think about God's loving kindness in the morning and think about his faithfulness at night. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. So he's seeking God, and God's helping him. People are seeking to help hurt him, and God's not letting him. And that's great stuff. But look at that again, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. That's a great thing to think about, is early in the day, before you get into other stuff, you're seeking God. Great stuff. Let's go to Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that, what? Call upon thee. If people simply call upon thee, call upon God, he's good to them, he's ready to forgive them, he's plenteous in mercy. And now think about this. This is even before the Lord Jesus Christ came and carried out his wonderful ministry of deliverance and salvation, before he gave his life for our lives, before he paid for our sins with his blood on the cross, before any of that, God still would forgive people that simply would come to call upon him. And how much more, now that we're not God's servants, but we're his children, how much more will God be good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee? But you notice we have to call upon the Lord. It's still our freedom of will. We have to call upon the Lord. It's like the guy at my auto shop. I had to call him up. If I had never called him, my check engine light might have gone on forever. The car might have just stopped one day on the side of the road. But I called on him, so he's going to look at it, and hopefully it'll all get fixed. But I had to call. Well, we call upon the Lord, and he will do all the great stuff there. Let's look at that verse again. Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications, my specific requests. Verse 7, In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Why? For thou wilt answer me. It's like we saw back in Psalm 17. I will call because thou wilt answer me. You'll answer. How great that is. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Great stuff. That's why he calls. So keep that in mind. Tomorrow afternoon or Thursday morning or Friday afternoon, whenever you're in a bit of a pinch and need some help, or even when you're not in a pinch, things are going great and you just want to keep them going great, call upon the Lord. Ask him for help. Pray. Make your requests known unto him, and he'll answer. Jeremiah 29. Interesting section here. Jeremiah 29. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. For thus saith the Lord. Now remember, Jeremiah is written during the Babylonian captivity. Most of the people in Jerusalem have been taken as captives about 800 miles away to Babylon. A small group has remained in Jerusalem, which Jeremiah the prophet is one of them. And here in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or can also be translated to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes people get in such a mess, whatever they were relying on or expecting to go well in their lives didn't, and they lose heart, they get discouraged, they lose hope, they have no vision for how their lives can go. They can't figure out, now that the things they've come to rely upon are no longer there, how could they possibly move forward? Well, think about your city being invaded by a huge army and you being taken away in chains somewhere hundreds of miles away where they speak a different language and have a different culture, and you're in captivity. It would be hard to picture yourself with a positive future. I know we all have challenges, but I don't think any of us have been dragged away in chains like that. We might have lost a job, or some relationship didn't work out, or some other thing didn't work out. We all have those things happen. But they had some extreme stuff happen. Yet God still says, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. With God there is always a future and a hope. And even beyond this life here on earth, we have the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ, to look forward to. So we always have a future and a hope. So if you ever start feeling hopeless or lose heart and see no future for yourself with anything positive in it, well, don't believe it, because God has a future and a hope for you. It may take you some time emotionally and mentally or financially or some other way to work through the challenge you're in. We all have that, but in the end, God has a future and a hope, and he will help you through whatever it is you might be. Because then, look at verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will what? Hearken, I will listen unto you. Verse 13, and you shall seek me, and what? Find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, there are a lot of people who will tell you can pray and pray and pray, and nothing will happen, and you can look for God, and you'll never find him. Well, look what this says. God has this future and a hope, and look what he says will happen, verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen unto you. And you shall seek me and find me. You will find me. You will find the help you need from me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. So They were in an extreme situation. God was still going to take care of them, and they weren't even born again. We are in not as an extreme situation, and we're born again, and we have all the promises God has made to take care of us as his children. So if these guys in the mess they were in could seek the Lord and find him, could call upon the Lord and be delivered, God could have a future and a hope for them, how much greater for us as his sons? I mean, picture some big rich guy with a big corporation, and he gets all excited and gives a Christmas bonus to all of his employees. That's good. That's wonderful. Employees, I'm sure, would appreciate that. But then picture the guy's kids. If they, you know, the employees get a little 2% bonus, what do you think the kids are going to get? A lot more. Well, we're God's kids. So I'm glad he took care of the Judeans who were in Babylon, but to a much, much greater degree, he'll provide for us and supply what we need and direct our paths. Because we just live in a better time since our Savior has come and accomplished his ministry for us. They hadn't yet had that. So God was doing amazing things for his people back then. But the things he does for us as his kids are even much more amazing as we simply call on him. Let's go to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Hosea chapter 7. We're going to read the whole chapter. And what you see is there are a bunch of pretty goofed up people here. And the reason is, we'll read in verse 7 that they didn't call upon the Lord. And we'll read in verse 14 that they didn't cry unto him. So, two places it says they didn't go to God for help. Hosea chapter 7. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim, Ephraim's one of the tribes and often used to refer to the whole 12 tribes of Israel. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity, the sin of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about there before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine, and he stretcheth out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen, for there is none among them that what? Calleth unto me. They were in a big mess because nobody would call on the Lord for help. It's not the fact that they made mistakes. It's not the fact that they even did evil stuff. We read about people before in the book of Judges who did evil, nasty stuff, yet when they cried and called unto the Lord, they were safe. These guys could have called upon the Lord and said, hey, we're a mess, help us out, but they didn't. So things kept getting worse. Verse 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor, what? Seek him for all this. So they didn't call upon him, and here, a very similar concept, they did not seek him for all of this. In spite of all this, they didn't seek. I mean, imagine you having a terrible, nasty week, where if bad things are going on around you, you're doing stupid stuff in response, you're not doing your best work, you're acting ridiculously bad, and yet you don't go to God for help. We all have days where we don't do things right, where we have problems around us. So part of the problem is us, part of the problem is the other people around us, or some of both, or one or the other. Yet we usually realize, oops, this isn't good. Help! and we ask God for help. And that's what we need to do. We need to always go to God for help. Verse 11, Ephraim is also like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Verse 12, when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against thee. Verse 14, and they have not, what? Cried unto me with their heart. See, remember I mentioned the word call, the word seek, the word cried are almost synonyms in the sense that it's talking about going to God for help. So here, earlier in the chapter, it said they didn't call, it said they didn't seek, now they haven't cried. Verse 14, they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. They just haven't gone to God with their heart. And God looks on the heart. So there's so many places that if you look with your whole heart for God, you'll find him. Verse 15, though I abound and strengthen their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. So they were in a real mess because they didn't call upon the Lord, they didn't seek the Lord, they didn't cry unto him. So this is sort of what it is not. That's not the way we want to live. Don't think you have to be perfect because all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. What you have to do is do your best to walk with God, and when you find yourself wandering away, just come back and cry unto the Lord, ask him for forgiveness, ask him for his help, and thank him for being such a wonderful father to us. And then one to wrap up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There is more in the New Testament scriptures about calling on the Lord. And we'll just read one. There are others we'll look at another day. 1 Corinthians 1. And verse 2. So we'll go back to verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, that's us, we're sanctified in the new birth, called saints, which we are, God's called us saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, both whether they're from Jew or Gentile. All that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do, because we are to pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's okay to be a name dropper. We call in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we do when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Name dropping often helps. There's so many things in Eastern culture about calling on the name of some great person, but, you know, until I retired, I worked downtown Washington, D.C. Calling upon names still helps. I still do that sometimes when I drive Uber for fun, and I'm driving somebody through an old historic part of town called Georgetown. If they're into space and cars, I point out and say, yep, I invited Elon Musk to a dinner right there, and he came. And they go, oh, wow. Not like I'm trying to get anything using the name, but names get people's attention. And we all have people we've met of renown, of ability, of various types. And sometimes being able to use that name will open a door or get you something or get people's attention. But that's just in the physical world, and that's just a fact of life. Depending on what line of work you're in and where you live and what you do, that can be very helpful. It can be very simple as you need something done in your office or your company, and people don't want to do it, and you say, so-and-so, the boss wants it, and they all drop everything and do it right away because the boss signs the paychecks. And use his name, you might get something done that you wouldn't otherwise. Well, we have something much better than that. That's just a simple analogy. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He paid for our sins. He's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. So when we pray in his name, it gets God's attention, as it should. That's what God asks us to do. It's not, you know, answer my prayer because I want it. It's answer my prayer because Jesus Christ paid for it, and I'm claiming that. I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ. So not only can we call upon God, like all those wonderful people in the Old Testament did, and God listened to them and delivered them, but we can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. We can pray using his name. So we can call more effectively with greater results. And just keep that in mind as you go through your week. Just because things look a little tough, just because you get a little discouraged, just because the first three times you try something it doesn't work, doesn't mean anything. Just call upon the Lord and he will find a way to bring you the deliverance you need. He will listen to you. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints on the phone line today. Thank you for the wonderful saints who will hear this in the months, weeks, and years ahead on the website. And may we have a great couple of weeks praying, looking to you, calling upon you for help, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus when we pray, and just seeing great deliverance, great victory, and great peace and joy, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father, and your abundant love and mercy, and your tremendous, unfailing loving kindness is always with us. I thank you for this, and for the great joy of knowing you and believing you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.